you know, nobody's mind can stay super anchored in. I mean, of course you can, eventually you can work towards that, but it's why we talk about, you know, the idea of the monkey mind. So in the idea of parenting is, well, maybe presence really isn't necessarily like where we are physically. Maybe presence is much more about awareness and where our attention is. I have two, you know, it's, and you know, when you have multiple kids, I'm not able to be physically present with one of them at all times, right? I'm with one of them, but my heart is with the other. So how can I be present with both of them at the same time in that moment? And am I being less present with this one that I'm physically with? Well, I think I need to redefine presence as more of an awareness, that choosing where my thoughts right now, choosing where my attention is focusing.
Hi, welcome to Partners in Upbringing. I'm Kalyani.
I'm Himani.
And we are parents just like you.
Always on a lookout. So come join us in our endeavor as we connect with parenting experts and fellow inspiring parents to know the best practices for raising happy and confident children.
Visit partnersinupbringing.com for podcasts, videos, blogs, and to connect with experts. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Partners in Upbringing.
You can listen to us on your favorite podcasting app, Partners in Upbringing, your trusted partner in your parenting journey.
Gifts often come with the obvious meaning, especially in today's time. They are a token of love, appreciation, and sometimes simply a gesture of kindness. But today, we are delving deep into a gift that transcends the material, a gift that holds the power to shape lives and resonate through generations.
Himani, you are a parent of two. What do you believe is the greatest gift you are giving your children?
I think according to me, it is the conversations that I have with my children. It's about their feelings, their experiences, you know, their perspectives towards life or what they have seen for that day. And what did they learn? And most importantly, I think it's the opportunity for me, for, or rather us, to bond with each other. And that I think is most precious to me.
For me, it's always been about giving them new experiences. Be it visiting new places, reading new books, or just painting or cooking something new for them, or rather with them. I enjoy these experiences myself and find some kind of inner joy, peace, satisfaction as a parent. Well, the reason why we are talking about this topic today is because we've received a truly wonderful gift from our guest for the day, Sara Izrin. Sara is a senior yoga teacher and a teacher trainer. She's been teaching all around the world for 15 years. Her offerings are the perfect blend of her extensive training, sharp wit, and innate wisdom. Sara is a mother to two young boys and is the author of the newly released book, Yoga of Parenting. 10 yoga-based practices which help you stay grounded, connect with your kids, and be kind to yourself.
The book primarily draws parallels between yoga and parenting and how yoga complements and facilitates the skills that parents need today. It is classified into three parts: awareness, transformation, and connection. It enables us, or rather handholds us, to apply and practice the positive or mindful parenting concepts, which we are all aware of but find it tough to implement and execute. So, for example, we all know that we should not be shouting at our children, you know, for the mistakes that they make. But at the end of the day, when we are tired and the kids are throwing tantrums at bedtime or dinner table or not doing their homework, we all tend to lose our mind. But this book helps us overcome this gap between what we want and what we do.
Every chapter is themed around a yoga-based concept and includes a pose to support the teachings. After the posture, Sara deep dives into the yoga-based wisdom and explores different psychological principles and research, sharing how these concepts apply to parenting. In addition to the opening posture, each chapter contains 5 sections, which is breath breaks, on the mat, parenting in practice, off the mat into the family, and 10 takeaways for busy parents. So breath breaks are actually invitations to mindfully breathe. They are great reminders. On the Mat explains the practices to show us how we can apply the lessons on our yoga mat in a more general sense. Parenting in Practice is offerings and advice from fellow parents. And Off the Mat and Into the Family, which is a very, very interesting section, are simple fun exercises to help us bring the work off the mat into our homes.
We can actually just read the book from wherever we please. It is a fantastic guide when in distress and otherwise. So there are many interesting chapters like when challenges become gifts, yoga, the life force and breath, how to change a parent's mind, very interesting, finding calm amid the chaos, again, very relevant, setting limits, living in harmony, which is what we need in today's busy life. But today, we are going to discuss about Sarah's perspective on the greatest gift we can give our children, one of the chapters from the book. So now let's welcome Sarah Isreen to Partners in Upbringing podcast. Hi, Sarah. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you both. That was such a beautiful opening. That was like, oh, that was one of my favorites that I've ever heard about any book, let alone my own. So I appreciate the thoughtfulness, and I love, as we were talking about in the green room beforehand, I love hearing your perspectives and your experiences too. So I so appreciate both of you for everything you put out in the world, and I'm really honored to be here.
It's completely our pleasure, Sarah. Sarah, you know, if with your permission, because we're going to talk about this particular chapter, what is the greatest gift we can give our children? Is it okay if we read a couple of lines from the chapter towards from the beginning and then take it from there? Is that okay?
I would be honored. I love hearing, I'm like sick of myself reading it. You know, the two of you are like reading it all the time. So please, anybody else, I would be honored to hear you read it. Thank you.
Okay. It goes like, as a writer, I'm fascinated when two similar looking words have seemingly unrelated definitions. One such relationship is that of the words presence, as in being physically in the room with someone, and present, as in a gift. Both come from the Latin word prese, which means to be in charge. I guess this quote by American cartoonist Bill Keane is more than just a cute coffee mug saying, which goes, yesterday is history, tomorrow is mystery, today is a gift from God, which is why they call it the present. I would venture to say that every parent understands the importance of presence on a surface level. You would be hard-pressed to find someone who wished they were less present with their family, although maybe they wish their family were a bit less present with them, especially when going to the bathroom. But let's be real. Being 100% present all the time is not only challenging when you are trying to keep a household going, but it is also oftentimes downright impossible. Now, Sarah, we so resonate with the comparison that you've made here with those two distinctly different words. You know, can you help us go deeper into this?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I love hearing that back, especially with the bathroom, because this just happened. As I put my kids, it's our bedtime, and I'm like, okay, you know, when you need some space. I mean, I think we should define what presence is, because at least the way that it was taught to me in, you know, my early years of wellness and mindfulness and meditation and yoga was that presence is like, you must be completely we must be completely, you know, involved and enveloped in where you are in that moment, that like wherever you physically are, that's where all of your attention needs to be. And so I think this is also why a lot of people who start meditation practices give up before they've even begun, because they're like, you can't keep your mind, you know, nobody's mind can stay super anchored in. I mean, of course you can, eventually you can work towards that, but it's why we talk about, you know, the idea of the monkey mind. So in the idea of parenting is, well, maybe presence really isn't necessarily like where we are physically. Maybe presence is much more about awareness and where our attention is. Because part of what motivated that and the idea of the gift of presence is that I have two, you know, it's, and you know, when you have multiple kids, I'm not able to be physically present with one of them at all times, right? I'm with one of them, but my heart is with the other. So how can I be present with both of them at the same time in that moment? And am I being less present with this one that I'm physically with? So it really just became this idea of, well, I think I need to redefine presence as more of an awareness, that choosing where my thoughts right now, choosing where my attention is focusing. And sometimes, to be fully honest, it's not where I physically am in space. Sometimes it's sending love, you know, to another room because I hear my baby crying, but my toddler really needs me right now. And like, obviously, like someone's with the baby, like, you know, it's like my husband or, you know, a grandparent is with the baby. But I think sometimes it's just, that's the gift, right? The gift is, how can I show up fully for someone, even if they are not necessarily in the same space? What can I do for myself too, energetically?
Fantastic. It just reminded me of another discussion which we had a few months ago on what is actually quality time, spending quality time with our children. Is it taking them to a park and playing with them? Or is it talking and answering their questions or attending to them when they are in distress? Because so many times, for example, if I'm recording, we are having calls, we are working, and the child comes, and it's difficult for us to stop something, move our focus, and again, be present with them.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, there's studies, first of all, about the difference between quality and quantity, right? And there is a lot of pressure, especially as moms. I don't like to gender things, but let's be real. There's a lot of pressure on mothers to be there constantly, to, you know, heaven forbid we have careers. And, you know, it's there, even that's the narrative, even though we've all, you know, we think that we're much more progressive these days, but then it's the systems aren't set up to support us in the same way for us to also have a career and be raising our kids, right? It's a constant juggle and a constant balance, and it's really hard. And as a result, people who have passions like we do and dharmas that are beyond our family tend to, we are carrying in a ton of guilt as we're trying to both live our truth and live our life, but also still be the best moms that we can be. But you have society and this narrative saying like, well, no, you should only be a mother. And that's where all of your attention should go. So suddenly anything you do outside of that is tinged with guilt.
If you are enjoying this conversation, please give us a 5-star rating on the app you're listening to and subscribe to our podcast. Thank you.
Well, what ends up happening is a lot of people, and there's a lot of people that choose to, you know, set aside career, to fully devote themselves to parenting. And you know, that's absolutely wonderful. But I think we need to think about like the amount of time that we're spending with our kids, because even if you choose to set aside your career, are you still setting aside for yourself? Is there still time for you? Because if we spend 24 hours a day with our kids, it's impossible that that's all going to be deeply connected and honest time. We need time, whether it is going to the bathroom for 2 minutes, or in our cases, because we love what we do so much, need that hour to talk to different people and to be inspired and to fill your energy tank, so that when we come back to our family, we're that much more full. But the trope is that the pressure is, oh, no, but you must spend every waking moment. And what ends up happening, obviously, is it's impossible to be connected to anything 24 hours out of the day. It's just an impossibility. And so we're like, we're set up at a deficit before we've even begun. But what we have to do is, if we look at the statistics and we go back to the research and we go back to the studies, or even like forget the science of it, like look at your own day. When you take that time for yourself away from your family, you are much more able to be connected, present, grounded, tuned in when you get back together with them. And that's like, and it's like just getting past that guilt of like, okay, maybe the hours of the day are less that I'm actually physically in the room. Again, this is that awareness thing. But if I have an hour to myself to do what I need, whether it's, you know, the passion of your career or just going for a run, moving your body, if that hour away from your kids is actually going to give you more quality a connection when you come back, because you've filled your tank. You're not operating at a constant deficit.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you initially spoke about our mind being, you know, wandering and not being in the present. Mm. We are going either in the future or in our past. That's what you've mentioned. And we completely agree with that. That happens with all of us. What I loved when you've again said about, I'll just read that out. I realized that the mere fact that I had become aware was the work. In becoming aware, I was being present. Now, we all struggle. We know that we are just going back and forth and we should be in the present, but we don't know the process to be there. We don't know what is the first step to be there. And I think you've beautifully explained this in your book. So can you just, you know, explain how parents can reach in the present moment and not feel guilty?
Well, yeah, I mean, the guilt is like, you know, it's so deep seated. And again, there's so many layers to it. So, you know, one way is like, just real quick to sum up what we were saying before too, and I think this goes into this as well, is the awareness and paying attention to what's the effect with your kids. So let's say that you do have a day where your mind is wandering and you're elsewhere, but you catch yourself and you come back. What do you notice in your kid that also reinforces that you are now more connected in that moment? And you can feel it, right? You feel it in their nervous systems. You can just, there's like a sense, often, at least in my case with my two wild boys, you know, 1.5 and almost 4, when my mind is all over the place, they're all over the place too, right? Like, it's much harder to wrangle them than when I am connected. Now, this is not to say that like the days that I'm connected, they are super well behaved, because they are not. They're 4 and 1.5 and they have lots of energy. But maybe I have the space to support that a little more. Like, they can bounce around and I can hold that loving boundary and not be as, you know, feeling like where I'm like rushed for time or, you know, that I'm being pushed against. But I think it comes back to, you know, we were talking about quality versus quantity. It's a similar thing. It's like looking at the effect, right? Look at the effect of both how your kids are behaving, how you're feeling. I mean, this is the beauty. This is why I love the yoga practice. Is what was interesting about being on the physical mat for me or meditating was that it became like this laboratory. And I was so curious about cause and effect, you know, and it was really simple. Put my foot here, I'm going to feel a sensation here. That's how it started. Or, you know, adjust my spine this way, and this is going to feel this way. Well, that curiosity has carried into my parenting too. It's the same thing. If I can approach it from this place of curiosity, then, you know, yes, you want to mess up almost, right? Like, you're like, okay, let your mind wander. See what the effects are. Notice how your own energy is in that moment. And then rather than being tough on yourself, you just use it as learning. I think there's just something about approaching everything from a place of experimentation and curiosity that helps kind of take the pressure off. And especially when it comes to attention. I mean, I just, like, right now was breastfeeding my one son down, and like my mind, it was like a puppy on a pee pad, you know, like every 3 seconds I'm like super connected, and then I'm like gone, and then I'm super connected, and then I'm gone. But, you know, that was something really interesting to pay attention to. And what I realized is, like, I needed more downtime today. I needed more time to fill my own tank. And it's all just learning. And I think if we approach it that way, we can be so much kinder to ourselves, right? We are not meant to be doing this thing perfectly. And all the, like, quote unquote mistakes are actually opportunities for growth and learning.
Right. I love the way you've explained how simple this can be to be in the present moment, you know. You've said, I spent my energy using all my tools to bring myself back to him I placed my hand on his body and listened to him chew.
Yeah.
You know, it's as simple as that, you know. Or when you realize that you're kissing your kid, but you're also thinking about something that you have to do in the next 2 minutes, you can bring yourself back just to realize that how the baby smell is, you know, and be in that moment. So I just love this, the way you've explained it. And you made it sound so simple that it's not so difficult to come back in the present moment.
I wouldn't say it's simple, right? I don't think it's simple. I think it's more like intuitive. Like it's something, it's like you already know it. It's already in your, it's not like we have to learn anything. You know, so many of these parenting books are very well written and they're, you know, they're amazing experts, but they're giving us scripts that we have to like memorize and, you know, this one prescription for our very different children. And I think with mindfulness practices and yoga, it's just that intuitive connection. So what do you need in that moment, right? Like, so yes, the story you were telling was that I was like, I was talking, my toddler was telling me a story. We were getting ready to go to school.
Yes.
And my mind was lit. I'm completely invested in an article that I was writing, which was, you know, which is part of my job. And I need my job, right, to like support my kids, to feed them. So it's like you're being pulled back and forth. But it was the same thing. And this just happened tonight. But using my senses, using all my tools to come back to him and to reconnect. And it wasn't like I had to say a script to him. And, you know, there wasn't anything prescriptive about it. It was just intuitively using my senses. I think that's a big part of it, too, is the senses to just, you know, bring us back to each other. Because like right now, for example, as I'm feeding my son, the other son, the young one, to go to sleep, I was using, like you said, the smell. I was smelling his head. And I'm like, that kept bringing me back, right? So it's like, you know, with Jonah, it was my older one, which is what that story was about. It was literally hearing him chew. So, you know, these things that they seem simple, but I think they're just like gateways back to the present, back together.
I was born in the city of Pune, which is the home to Iyengar Yoga Institute. Yes. So yoga was a part of my life since I was 12. And of course, everybody keeps on talking about it. And it's like an everyday word, at least, which you hear, not that everybody practices it. But just like you mentioned right now, that we can use the senses to be in the present, we can use the senses to be more mindful. I am just curious to know, how can we use yoga to be more mindful and be in the present?
Well, you know better than anybody, right? Having grown up in the lineage, that there's the small Y yoga and what the West has commodified as yoga, which is a sliver, right, of an iceberg of the practices, and then the big Y philosophy of yoga. So I want to acknowledge, right, like I'm a white woman from the United States. Like the yoga of parenting for me was, I wanted it to be a much bigger snapshot of any contemplative practice, anything that we do that cultivates connection. So I went back to the root of the Sanskrit word, but the term that is, it's said that it's used for a bunch of different definitions, which is unusual and different from like the English language. We have one word, one definition, and all the definitions that I looked up. So yoga is sometimes used to explain an arithmetic sum and an astrological conjunction, a marriage, like the fact that that term is what's being used, then looking at the contemplative practices and what, how everything is about that union and that connection, it just was like, well, I think it's really about connection. Like I know in the US we've turned it into this tiny, tiny, tiny thing where you move your body and it's a form of exercise. Mm-hmm. But from at least my interpretation and all the texts that I devotedly read over and over again, connection is the word that kept coming up for me. So if that's the case, like the Bhagavad Gita talks about the four margas and, you know, karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga. So it's like, you know, those are all different forms too, right? Selfless service, devotion to God,
it's
studying.
All different paths to one destination.
It's all the same. Exactly. Which is all about connection. And it's connecting to our self and our capital S self. And I think parenting, it's hard because I think it's the temporality of parenting and the acceptance that we are, you know, what is nature and what is eternal and what is, you know, pieces of divinity. I think because in parenting, we're like attached to our kids and we're molding them and we're trying to, you know, like hang on to every single second of every single day. And we're losing sight of where the connection actually is. I mean, you were saying like what makes more sense? Is it, you know, the quality time that you spend going to the park or having a full afternoon, or is it just being at home and making eye contact and having this deeper soul and love connection that I hope to educate people, or at least to like share what I know, is like, it's so much bigger than the shapes that we make with our body. And it really is about that bigger connection to, you know, the eternal. And I think our kids are like these little pieces of the divine right in front of us, you know, which is hard to remember when they're yelling at you because they wanted the blue bowl and you gave them the green bowl. And you're like, oh, you're a gift, right? You're a gift, you're my teacher.
No, absolutely. Another interesting point that, since you mentioned about what has been spoken in the Upanishads, I like the metaphor that you have mentioned in the book about the chariot, about the body being the chariot. So can you explain that to us?
Yeah, from the Katha Upanishad. Yeah. The idea that the reins are our mind and the charioteer is the true self. But the horses are the senses, right? So we're literally being led constantly by like, what's that smell over there? What am I hearing over here? But the idea is that there's these very human parts of us that are experiencing the world that we need to be in the world, to be a part of the world. That means you're also being, you know, thrown around by the world as well. And so it's getting really clear on, where is my attention going? Am I just being led somewhere? And what's actually leading you? Well, we have to get back to the place inside of us that's the wisest part. That's the part that's, it's beyond the mind, right? It's that big S self. And really trust that, yes, okay, we can be led. Those horses can get really wild. And even the mind can't necessarily control them at times. But when you have a sturdy leader, when you trust in that deeper place inside of all of us, there is a wisdom. There is a way to at least go for the ride, or, you know, slow it down or speed it up, or, you know, because I'm trying to like stay away from the word control, but we can be led and things can go wild, or we can really stay in that place of our power and our choice. And that's, I think, the thing with parenting too, is like, we have choices. It may not feel like it in the moment when, you know, we yell automatically, but we have a choice right after, right? We can choose what the next step is. The immediate reactions sometimes are a little bit ahead of us, but the hope is we get better and better about spacing it out. And, you know, maybe in 20 years or, but that's the idea, is that we are not just being led around by some wild horses. And I mean, we can be if we're not paying attention, but how do we tap into that part of ourself that's actually guiding the ship, that knows and is wise?
I think for just easy reference, what we all need to remember is that being present for our children is the biggest gift that we can give them. At the same time, being present is just being aware. Simple equation. Presence equals to awareness.
And the two points which I keep on reminding myself when I picked up your book and after this conversation as well, is it is extremely tough, yes, to be in the present, to not think about something else. But at the same time, if we are stuck, if we are struggling, we can look at our senses, we can look at basic yoga poses to get ourselves back into the moment and back into control of the chariot and be more grounded, happy, and with our kids.
Sarah, there is a section called On the Mat. What are the poses which you have, I think you've mentioned about Tadasan and Samasthiti. Yep. So can you explain that, and how is that connected with being present.
As I mentioned, you know, it was on the mat where I started to learn how to really experiment with cause and effect, meaning it was with my body, right? So if we're talking about presence, we can talk about it all day. It's just a different way of learning it. So I did, I chose Tadasana and Samasthitihi, which is, you know, you both know, but I just, for the listeners in case, right, is like synonymous. The reason I like Samasthitihi is because I come from the Ashtanga tradition. And I love the idea of the sameness of it, right? So coming from the root word for same. Tadasana I love too, because there is the mountain aspect and there's something about that. But there, what I always gravitated towards Samasthitihi because of the idea of symmetry, not just in the physical form. And when you're trying to get symmetrical, right to left, front to back, it's also this, you know, bringing your mind into this evenness too. The breath becomes even, the mind becomes even. There's just something about that balance aspect of it. So I love, I mean, even just very simply standing and noticing which foot am I standing a little more into, which leg is a little bit more turned out right now. And not that you're trying to make everything perfect, but you're just aware, right? Again, it's that awareness, like, okay, well, you know, if I've got one leg that's always turned out, like, let's just play, let's bring it in a little bit. And then what's my rib cage doing in relation to my back? Can I find equal length front to back? It stacking the head above the shoulders and the shoulders above the pelvis. But using the physical markers not to align perfectly. You know, I just want to make sure that, like, that's not the goal of it. We're really just using it kind of like a meditation bell to keep bringing our attention back. So it's not really about finding the perfect Tadasana or finding symmetry, because that's impossible, right? We're asymmetrical beings. It's literally impossible. It's just about the awareness. What's the difference side to side? What's my left pinky doing versus my right pinky? And that really, it just becomes like a meditation bell to keep bringing us back. This is something that is happening in the present moment right now. And we can do this, you know, the beauty of, you know, the Tadasana spine is, you know, you don't have to be ambulatory, right? You have a spine, you're doing Tadasana. So you can do this while seated. You can do it while laying down. You can do it in all fours, you know, while you're crawling around with your kids. And it's just a nice way, like if you find your mind wandering and you're sitting, maybe, you know, we gave the tool of like, sure, hear them chew or smell their hair, but maybe you use your own body and it's just like, okay, my mind is wandering. Well, how am I sitting right now? You know, am I completely hunched over and on my device? Am I ribs forward and, you know, overextending? How can I use the physical body to find this place of evenness and balance?
Awesome. Awesome. It's like a tool which we always have with us.
Literally with us all the time. Like, it's my spine. Like, this is, and I'm obsessed with the spine these days. You know, like when in my early 20s, I was like, oh, I'll get my leg behind my head and like do all these like fancy things. But now I'm like, oh, it's just the spine. Like, what's my spine doing? And your spine is everywhere with you. I love that. I love that. It's constantly with you. That's the tool, right? You don't need a mat. You don't need a cute outfit, you know, you don't need anything. You just, it's you and your, and the spine, right? If we think about it from like a nervous system perspective, it's the brain aligning over the nervous system. So it's really, oof, it's like that inner highway. I love that it's always with you. It's always
I like
with
the
you.
Inner highway metaphor. Very cool. Very cool.
So, Sarah, for the listeners who would like to grab a copy of your book, where can they find it? Where all can they find it?
Yeah, my book is available wherever books are sold. So, we talked about that if you're in the world, I think Amazon is one of the places that it's accessible. But I think it really, there's so many local bookshops that you can look into. Like, for example, in Canada, Indigo is their big provider, and you know, there's different ones everywhere. So whatever your major book seller is, punch it in. Yoga of Parenting. If it's not there, you can send them a message and tell them to carry it, or you can get it on Amazon, Audible, Kindle, and really anywhere books are sold.
Yeah. And since the gifting season is just around the corner, the next month we have Christmas. I think it can be a wonderful gift which we give to parents, because after all, we are helping them to be more sane, more practical, and more present with their kids.
And with a lot of wisdom, yes. Not at a superficial level. You know, I really like that you've taken these small snippets without making it boring and without making it too spiritual, at the same time giving practical approaches and actionables and 10 takeaways with every chapter. Oh my god, like this is like a power pack book, and it really gets you hooked on. So I think I would like to just end it with one of your titles in the chapter, which I totally loved. You deserve your presence. I think it's so amazing the way you've put it in with so much simplicity, with so much profoundness. So we totally enjoyed. And this is just one chapter. We can actually practically have a podcast on every chapter that you
have. Let's do it.
So let's do it. Totally game for it. So thank you so much. It was lovely.
Thank you, Himani and Kalyani. And I want to say real quick, because what Kalyani was saying about the like giving the book as a gift, that we, and you just hit on it too, Himani, is that like we're talking about giving the gift of presence to our kids. But really, it's about giving ourselves that presence. So I really appreciate that. Like, it's like, you know, giving the gift back to us as the parents so that we have something to give, right? It's just this beautiful cyclical relationship.
Absolutely.
It's this beautiful circle. So yeah, absolutely. And thank you both so much for having me. I loved the questions. I love listening to you both chat. So it's a real honor getting to, you know, actually be here and live and be a part of it. I love your podcast so much. So thank you so much for everything you're putting out in the world for parents. Truly. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. These words mean a lot to us. I would like to say to the listeners that you can also look for the link in the bio of our Instagram page, which is Partners in Upbringing. And
the show notes
well.
On Spotify or any platform you're listening to.
Before signing off, we have a small request. If you like what we do, please subscribe to us on the app you're listening to, give us a 5-star rating, and drop us a review. Your small actions make a big difference to us. Please do share our podcast with your friends and family to help them raise happy and confident children. If you'd like to know more about Partners in Upbringing, do visit our website, partnersinupbringing.com. We also conduct parenting webinars with experts. So if you would like to organize one exclusively for your school or organization, do drop us a message on Facebook or Instagram at Partners in Upbringing, or you can email us on contact@partnersinupbringing.com. We would love to hear from you. If you have a feedback or a comment or a suggestion, or if you would like us to cover a particular topic on the podcast, please do write to us. Meet you again in the next episode of Partners in Upbringing with another topic and a new expert or an inspiring parent. Until then, goodbye, stay safe, and happy parenting. The content of this podcast is the copyright of the makers of this podcast, Partners in Upbringing. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only, and any reliance on the information provided in this podcast is done at your own risk. This podcast should not be considered as professional advice unless stated. Please refer to https://www.partnersinupbringing.com for further details.